we're talking about the future of hip hop. And I think I just saw it. There's this news show from Senegal. It's called Journal Rappé. It's delivered live from Senegal. The news anchor is this guy named Kuman. He looks like a black Anderson Cooper with dreadlocks. He's wearing a crisp black suit, shirt, tie. He's sitting at a news desk like a traditional news anchor. Video of the world news is playing behind him,
okay.
And then he opens his mouth.
Bonjour. Bienvenue, installez-vous, on a des nouvelles pour vous. Y'a des bonnes, y'a des mauvaises, mais y'a des nouvelles pour vous. Bienvenue, installez-vous, on a des nouvelles pour vous. Y'a des bonnes, y'a des mauvaises, mais y'a des nouvelles pour vous.
I mean, forget the future of hip-hop. This sounds like the future of news. Kuman is rapping in French and Wolof, and it's about the week's news, economics, politics, the environment. Charles Monroe Kane sat down with Kuman in our studio in Madison recently, along with someone who is helping to bring performers like Kuman to international attention. Her name is Toni Blackman, and she's the hip-hop ambassador to the U.S. State Department. And raise your hand if you knew that the U.S. State Department even had a hip-hop ambassador.
Okay, so my assignment in the Congo, ironically, was Condoleezza Rice had put out a missive that different embassies had to do programming for International Day Against Gender Violence or something like that. And so the public affairs officer in Kinshasa conceived this idea that I would come, do workshops and masterclasses, coordinate and co-produce with a local Congolese artist, and me and this Congolese artist would then direct a group of dancers and MCs and singers to create a song that would serve as a PSA. Because women in the Congo still are being used as war weapons. And so there's systematic rape taking place. It's devastating how many hundreds of thousands of women and girls have been raped. Mm. And there's no call to arms or call to action. And so I brought a dancer, choreographer with me. That's what we did. And what was so beautiful about it is that here in this place where you have all these stories and all this imagery on the news, you also have all this beauty. And I'm going to tell you what, I've been to 42 countries around the world, and this is no diss to any country I've been to, because, you know, people like to adopt you. But the most profound music I've ever experienced, and where my most profound musical experiences were in Kinshasa.
That's amazing. And what's interesting to me is that you're doing that formally with the State Department representing the United States culture. Like, you're representing our country as an ambassador.
That
way, that's kind of incredible.
I'm telling you what, it blows my mind sometimes, because there I was in the Grand Hotel, and then they showed me where the rumble in the jungle was.
Right.
And I'm like, yo, this is like really history. You know, it's really history. And then to be around so many super talented artists who we didn't need to speak the language. We walked in the room vibing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you could feel it in your bones. And I remember one night we hung out. We got to see this band, and the drums were made with like a tree trunk. It was some young cats. They plugged the keyboard into a building next door. And then it was a full band, three guys who were rapper singers who chat ragga style, and they danced. And I never heard any music like this. It was a combination of rumba, hip hop, soukous, and they did it so well. And they went from rapping to singing to doing a dance move. And it was like one of those times in my life where I wish I wasn't an artist. I wish I was an agent.
So, Zuman, I have a question for you. Now, I would say I have been in hip-hop culture. I'm 48 years old, so kind of my whole life has been kind of permeated by that culture. And I thought I've seen a lot of things inside of hip-hop. What I've never seen is someone rap the news. Can you tell me about your Senegalese news program?
Okay, yes. So I started doing this radio program, and this radio program was about freestyling, about DJing, about like hip-hop. When I finished my radio program, I finished at 5, and at 5, the news started. But what was a bit disturbing is the fact that when I finished my radio program and when the news starts, it seems like the news and the information were not linked.
Sure, right.
So I was like, you know, I definitely got to find a way to, you know, to create the link between two of these things, because Chuck D used to say that hip hop is the CNN of the streets.
Right.
In Senegal, we have like more than 5,000 groups of hip hop. Groups, not rappers. So 5,000 groups of hip hop, it represents a lot of people. A lot of rappers. It represents a lot of people listening to hip hop. It represents a crowd, a big crowd. So we'd be like, okay, we're just going to be the medias from this crowd. We're going to be the missing links between the information and the entertainment. And we just like borrow Gyrus' one word in saying that we just trying to be entertainers, mixing entertainment and education. So in a way, yeah, we can say that we just definitely wanted to change our culture.
I want to say, Tony,
I think for me, and I want to interrupt because I think for listeners, I want to understand, like, you're quoting KRS-One, you're quoting Chuck D, you're talking about something from American culture. You're American, you're in that in that culture, and you've proselytized that in a sense abroad. How does that make you feel? I feel pretty proud when I hear it. How do you feel about that?
No, I think one of the most beautiful things that happened to me my first time in Senegal was that I was at the National School of the Art, and there were elders, like older elders, and they were in traditional garb, and they came up to me and they bowed their heads in their hands, and then someone started to translate, and one man almost had tears in his eyes. He was like, "Thank God you're here." And he said what they didn't know, that there were people of African descent, Black Americans, who gave any care.
Wow.
Because all they saw was the mainstream coming. And it was almost like they prayed over me so that I would stay focused and stay on the path. Like you need to stand the value of what your work is.
You have a word that you use, and you guys were using it together before we started recording here, a word that I now realize has great power that I didn't really fully understand until a couple days ago, and that's the word cipher.
Yeah.
Can you define that word for me? And I want you both to talk about ciphering for me and what that means.
Well, the cipher is spelled C-Y-P-H-E-R. In the 90s, it was spelled C-I-P-H-E-R. The young people changed it, so we just decided to go along with that. The cipher represents 360 degrees. It's about completion of thought, giving and exchanging energy, information, and ideas. The cipher is zero and the sum of all things at the same time. The word came out of, according to Harry Allen, I confirmed this with Harry Allen, the media assassin from Public Enemy, and it's something I had always thought. There was a sect of Islam here in the U.S. called the Five Percenters. And many hip hoppers joined the 5% Nation in the early 90s, late 80s. They were seeking something that for them fed them something different than the church. Mm-hmm. The church was no longer speaking to our generation. And so when they would go to study their lessons, there would be ciphers and there's different layers and uses of the word.
Now, Zuman, I have a question because in a sense, a lot of what she's talking about is that as a noun, but it's also a verb. How do you cipher as a verb?
In Wolof, in my native language, we have something that we call kurel. Kurel, that's a group of people, and this group of people exactly they just like have to create this circle, and exactly they like chanting from I don't know the whole night. And sometimes they change so much that some of them get just like, they're in trance. This kurel, or this cipher, as you're saying, it's have exactly the same power or the same energy as Tony was saying in the hip-hop. Mm. Yeah.
If I'm not vibing off of what Human just said, then we're not really having a cipher, right? That's something, that's a distinction that's often missed when we talk about many of the ciphers that are on TV or YouTube. But there has to be this connection. There has to be this sharing.
Is it spiritual? Is it always, I mean, does it get to that level?
Technically, it's not spiritual. It's just that we are human beings having a spiritual experience. So we're just identifying. We are identifying what is so.
Yes.
That is not obvious to most.
Right.
Yeah. So, right. Yeah.
You know, I think about it in freestyling, for example, a thing that I find incredible, because for people I know who are truly freestyling, they don't know what they're going to say next, right? And I think about that act, and I think that act has to include something bigger than themselves, correct? I mean, I don't think you can do that alone. You know what I mean? Like,
Why one of the reasons why I became an advocate for improvisation, particularly amongst rap artists, is because you have to connect to something bigger than to yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you don't recognize God or Allah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. However, it's not about you. But when you're improvising, you've got to let go. And if some moment you're going to surprise yourself about what comes out.
And in our country, in our culture, we have the griots. The griots, they are the storytellers. The griots, they have the, like, they are MCs. Like, they come in a place. They don't even know you. Listen, they have, like, a kind of techniques that they're using. They don't even know the person who are around, but based on what they sing, based on the way you on your clothes, they're improvising a song, singing for you.
Nice.
Period.
I have a question for you too, if you don't mind me asking. Your elders, you're from across different continents. My listeners out there are public radio listeners. Mm-hmm. You know, hundreds of thousands of them listening to this right now. Can you perform for them a message that would maybe touch them in a way so they can understand this movement a little bit better?
Okay.
Is that, I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but also at the same time, I feel like this is a moment where I think we need to hear it.
There we go. Who am I going to be? Tony V. All the way. Fitting from the heart right now. So check this as I be coming through with the public radio listener talking to you. So you can know as we say what we feel. The negative energy said we intend to kill. We understand how hip-hop builds. We understand how hip-hop heals. We understand how you might feel based upon the mainstream and the stories that they tell. What? But we have another side to this vision. We ask you to listen and to listen with precision. We making an incision inside of your heart. I said I improvise it right now so you could pause, so you can start right now, right here, and be clear right now, right here. Said I have no fear when I start to talk about this culture of mine. I said this hip-hop, it steadily blows my mind. I said for many, many years, I've been down, and for many, many years, I'ma stick around because I know what art can do to set us free. Because I know the purpose of art and the poetry. What you got? Come on.
Me? What do I have?
Yeah,
I
don't have anything. You don't have nothing? Come on.
Not me. I think that art, I believe that art can set us free. Because yes. I think it's the thing that created us.
Yes.
In the first place.
Creation.
And it's creation, right?
Yes. I think that creating, as you say, recreating, for me, it's something that defining us.
You know, I think that we have the capacity using the arts to make our world a better place. But I don't know, there's this idea that change, it makes people so uncomfortable, even though change is inevitable. Mm-hmm. And how often do we sit and talk about the future of hip-hop? Most of the time, we're looking back at it, or we're critiquing what's wrong with it now. But we don't make time for that. It's like, you said believe in the art. We're afraid to believe. We're afraid to dream. We're afraid that we're going to be disappointed. We won't take those kinds of risks, and so we sit with the familiarity of what is causing us pain. I have so many young people who come to me after not being as young as they were and tell me that the cipher saved their life. Yeah. You know, literally that hip hop saved their life, that poetry saved their life. It's not about you becoming this big time successful rapper, but it's about you becoming a great human being who is living a full life and who has the confidence and courage to do what it is you love and are meant to do while you're on this planet.
Amen. Thank you.
Contane nga ci maki te ci satchu ndaw yi bayu maki ñi fi transhumé est ce ñi ngi djel opposant ya ngi rebe fess del maki ak wada dañu nuro.
That's Tony Blackman and Human talking with Charles Monroe King.
Tony is hip-hop ambassador to the U.S. State Department. Kuman is host of Journal Crafe, a weekly TV news show in Senegal. If you want to watch it or see some of Tony's projects across Africa, go to our website at ttbook.org.